We'd like to thank Jack Atkins of the Central Ohio Radio Information Service for making the following item available to us at Main Menu.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to the Morning Exchange. This is Chuck Atkins, your host, and we have a very exciting program for you. A couple of months ago, we got together with Kim Casey, and she is from Pulse Data Humanware, and we got to look at the Braille Note and Talking GPS unit. What is all that, you ask? Well, I think you're going to be very enlightened, informed, and entertained after this next hour. So we certainly hope that you can stay with us. I think before we begin our tour of the Braille Note and the Talking GPS unit, a brief message of welcome is in order from Mike May, Director of New Business Development at Pulse Data Humanware.
Hi, this is Mike May, Director of New Business Development at Pulse Data Humanware. And I've been chomping at the bit to talk to you about a new development with GPS, that's Global Positioning System technology, utilizing the voice note and braille note. As many of you may know, I've been working on this for a number of years, and 2 years ago founded the Sendero Group, along with a number of other blind people, to get this GPS location information into the hands of other blind people. I can say that now with the voice note and braille note, we have it for you in a very convenient format for the first time. Let me tell you what GPS is and how it works with the voice note and braille note. The Global Positioning System is a network of 24 satellites that circuit the Earth. They send down those signals which are picked up by a GPS receiver about the size of a cell phone. That GPS receiver is connected to the voice note or braille note, and the information identifies locations that are near you and triggers them as you approach those locations. So your location is known, and the location of the nearby businesses are known. This happens through the combination of two technologies, the GPS satellite system and a very massive database of 15 million or more points already in the United States that are available to us to put into this point of interest database. We have hundreds of thousands of points for the U.S. in the Braille Note and Voice Note already, and more points will be added in the future. What this would sound like is McDonald's at 3 o'clock, 927 feet. And as you turn towards McDonald's on your right and you start walking towards it, it would say 300 feet, 200 feet, 100 feet. Boom, you're there. Another way you can use this technology is for route planning or just finding your way back to some location like a hotel that you happen to be staying in. You walk out the front door, you hit the record button, type in the name of the hotel, then you go out for a walk or go to a restaurant, and then you decide you want to come back. You listen to the heading and distance to that location and you retrace your steps. You may also decide that you want to have some help when you're walking from home to school or home to work, and there's a number of turns involved. Maybe you go to some place like a barber shop that you don't remember the directions to because you'd only go every couple months. In that case, you would drop what we call electronic breadcrumbs along the way. These are simply GPS locations at every significant turn. For example, Jones Street, 7th Street, bushes on my right. What'll happen is next time you walk that route, you will hear within 45 feet of that location, Jones Street, 7th Street, bushes on my right, 45 feet, 30 feet, 20 feet. And then you make your turn and you go on to the next waypoint. It's just simply a way of hearing your locations one at a time rather than the way we've traditionally been trained with orientation and mobility instructors where they have you memorize a route and you have to try to keep track of this ahead of time and have it in your memory. This way it can just be given to you as it happens. This is a huge breakthrough when you think about the location information that we've had access to in the past. It's really been next to nothing. We've had to depend on a sighted person to tell us what was nearby. And if that happened to be a taxi driver, we might not hear little, if anything, about our environment. Now we can independently hear through our voice note and braille note announcements about nearby locations so we know if we're in a familiar area or an unfamiliar area. we have a lot more choice in deciding where we want to go and when we want to do it on our own. This first version of GPS on the Braille Note and Voice Note is just the tip of the iceberg. The Sendero Group was awarded a $2.25 million grant from the Department of Education, National Institute for Disability Research, along with four universities and the Smith-Kettlewell Institute, University of Minnesota, Western Michigan University, Carnegie Mellon, and University of California, Santa Barbara. Together, we're working on new advancements to this GPS technology, including indoor navigation, better accuracy, cell phone GPS communication, talking signs, veering, street signals, complicated intersections, and much more. So you'll be able to see even more advancements to what's already a very impressive technology that we're able to offer you today. You'll see a lot more even happening tomorrow. Contact Pulse Data Humanware for a demonstration of the GPS technology, or look us up at one of the shows. You can also email gps@humanware.com to get more specific information. Happy traveling, and look forward to talking to you a lot more about this new and exciting technology.
So how does all this stuff work? Well, it became apparent in our conversation with Kim Casey that before we even discussed talking GPS or even thought about playing with it, we'd have to make a new friend, the Braille Note. One of the first devices before we look at the GPS unit, I think, we need to look at is the Braille Note, something that I have never seen before. I own a Braille and Speak. Sorry to mention Brand X here, Kim.
That's quite all right.
I own one of those. And with me is Kim Casey. Kim, tell everybody who you are and your job title and all that formality stuff.
Okay, I'm Kim Casey from Pulse Data Humanware. And I'm product manager for the GPS and a couple of other products that Pulse Data Humanware carries. I started with Pulse Data Humanware about a year and a half ago. And they had decided to make a partnership with the Sendero Group. And Sendero Group, if you may or may not know, was producing the Atlas Speaks and GPS Talk on a laptop, which would be talking GPS. We had a lot of problems with people didn't want to carry around a laptop. They didn't want to only get 2 hours of battery life. So it was kind of hard to sell something like that when people wanted a navigation tool that would last for hours and would be reliable, would be able to keep up with them. So what we've done with the Braille Note, and I'll go into explaining the Braille Note a little bit, is we've been able to put GPS on the Braille Note.
Okay, Kim, first a little background on yourself, if we might, in case anybody is wondering. I've already verified that Kim has been out of college for more than a week.
I actually went to college in California, University of California, Davis, and was studying economics and on my way to an accounting firm until I met Mike May and the Sendero Group. And since then, I've just been addicted to the blindness products and things related. So,
Kim, what was there about Mike and his group that said, this is what I want to do when I grow up?
Well, I think it was Mike's attitude where there wasn't anything that he couldn't do. And people said, you know, oh, you can't go and navigate by yourself. And he said, oh, yes, I can. And that kind of attitude was something very inspiring to me.
For those of us who do not know Mike May, he is visually impaired himself.
He actually was totally blind until 2 years ago and underwent a surgery to regain some sight. So right now he's low vision. He had a stem cell transplant and is now sees colors and movement. And
so you were taken by the cause and Mike May.
That's right. I guess you can say that, yeah. And I've just, you know, I've met so many amazing people in the industry that, you know, you just can't get away once you start.
What did you start out to be?
Meaning from college?
Yes.
I actually went straight. I was working part-time with Mike May when I was still in college.
Oh, okay.
And so I was actually thinking I was going to go and do accounting, auditing, fun stuff like that, you know.
This wasn't the kind of deal where you started out to be an actress.
Not at all.
And here you are.
Not at all, no.
We have a lot of carpenters with teacher's degrees now.
Yeah, I bet.
And students change their major a million times.
Yeah,
well,
it's amazing.
In this reporter's humble opinion, there seems to be a move to
farm visually impaired people to certain products. How do you fight that kind of stereotyping? It's like once they don't talk about other products. There's really nowhere, it seems, that a visually impaired person can go to get an honest look at every product out there and make up his or her own mind.
Well, I agree with that. We wanted to create a product where the blind user would have something that was uniquely their own, mm-hmm. but also compatible with Microsoft Word. They'd be able to share with their sighted colleagues or students, teachers, that kind of thing.
This device in front of me is a Braille note, right?
That's right.
It has a Braille display in the lower left hand of
right.
it.
And you're looking at a 32-cell Braille display. You'll notice right above the Braille characters, there's rubbery cursor routing keys. And what those do is, if you're in the middle of a text, you can press the button above the character that you want to change or delete or where you want to start inserting. And
oops.
You're in. That's okay. You can't break it. I won't tell them that.
I've been pushing buttons since I was 5.
Yep.
And my ex-wife will tell you I did it quite a bit.
That's funny. So then we've got the cursor routing keys, which help you within editing text. I see your thumbs are dropping to the thumb keys there, appropriately named thumb keys.
Yes.
They move you along the Braille text. So if you want to move up a line, down a line, you use the thumb keys. So your fingers never leave the Braille display. Actually, people who first see this device think that it's strange. You know, they have to get used to brailing on something that's curved. Once they do, though, they actually prefer it. There's also, in addition to the 6 keys and the space bar, there's a, I like to call them .7 and .8, backspace and enter. So that's, and if you're doing computer braille, then you have .7 and .8. If you want to go through the menu, it's a simple, just press the space bar, or you can use your thumb keys. The third one turns you down a menu item. The fourth one will enter on it. Let's just go with the space bar for now.
Okay.
First item in the menu is word processor. Do you want to slow that down? Or?
No, that's fine.
Okay.
Yeah, and it even says it below in the accompanying Braille display.
Right, yep, and it comes up.
Oh, wow. That's fantastic.
We've got a planner where you can insert appointments, set alarms.
Excellent.
Address list. This is actually a really cool feature. You can create groups, you know, according to states. So if you have a bunch of people in Columbus that you need to look up because you're coming here for a weekend, you want to contact all of them, just enter in the search field Columbus, and all your contacts from Columbus will come up.
Email.
Oh, cool.
Send and receive email, POP3.
Which we don't have internet access here.
We don't have a phone. We actually have it back at the booth if you want to.
Book reader.
You can download books from the internet or use regular doc files. So same thing as the word processor. It just doesn't allow you to edit. So if there's a book that you shouldn't be changing, I'd read it in the book reader.
Scientific calculator. GPS.
There's GPS, which we'll go over later.
File manager.
The file manager.
Utilities.
Utilities.
Terminal or screen reader.
Can use it as a screen reader.
Oh, I want one.
Remote synthesizer. Keyboard learn.
This is a neat feature for students learning the Braille note. You can hit enter on that and then press any key, and it'll tell you what it's doing. If you hit a combination, say, to take you back to the main menu is space 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, and 6.
Mm-hmm.
So if you do that when you're in keyboard learn, it'll tell you that this takes you back to the main menu.
Information
you can find out about the version numbers.
End of menu.
What this one doesn't have is the new web browser that we have called KeyWeb.
Oh, okay.
And that actually gives you access to the internet.
Main menu.
Okay, we're back in the main
menu.
Okay,
so in the main menu. Another cool feature about the Braille Note is that wherever you are, you have context-sensitive help. So if you were a new user and you wanted to start using this, but you didn't know what to do, you could go ahead and hit the space with H command, which would bring up...
To view the object, press space. To select any menu option, no, press its initial letter. Main menu.
So it tells you how to navigate through the menu.
Now let's suppose I want to read all that the synthesizer said with Braille.
Okay.
How would I do that?
Hit the third thumb key, and you will advance.
Going from left to right?
Left to right, yep.
Yes.
And you've advanced the Braille display there.
to select any menu option, now press its initial letter. Interesting. Okay.
So yeah, that's actually another cool feature about the Braille Note. Instead of having to spacebar through to arrow through, basically, you can just hit W for word processor, P for planner, A for address list.
Oh, okay.
G for GPS, of course.
I notice this is a very quiet key to advance the Braille display.
Yes.
Come in very handy.
Yeah.
Now the clock. Is there a clock, a way to tell the time with this?
Actually, yeah. If you go to the options menu, hit space with O.
Like an O chord.
Yep,
right?
Okay. Exactly.
Object
and
T.
Hit T. Mm-hmm. Actually, if you hit, I think if you hit space T from...
Do a T?
Hit a T, yeah. There we go. Is it set correctly? I believe so.
I think so, yeah.
Yep.
Oh, and here's another interesting feature. I was thinking about this for broadcast purposes. You can actually watch the seconds tick down in Braille.
And you can also do that with the date.
Oh, can you?
Yep. Space O.
D. Wow.
There we go.
Excellent.
So there's all kinds of hotkeys where you can find out information quickly. You can also find out your next appointment. Space O and then N. I don't have any appointments in there, so it's going to tell you so.
I'll go back to the main menu.
Actually,
I know how to do.
Yeah. Well, once you've finished with the options menu, if you hit a T, it'll automatically take you back to the main menu.
Oh, okay.
So, or it'll take you back to the document you're working in. So, if you're working on a Word document, you're typing away and you want to find out the time, just do the options menu in the middle of the document.
Now, these keys to the left and right are the enter key. What are they now?
The one on the far left is backspace. The one on the far right is enter. Here's the Braille Note without its case. You can feel a little bit better. I'm going to go ahead and have you feel up the side past the thumb keys.
Okay. Left side?
Yep.
This side
feel
here?
Feel up the left side.
Okay.
You have first there, there's a headphone jack.
Headphone jack. Okay.
The unit comes with headphones. There's a rocker on-off switch.
Excellent.
Then there's a recessed reset button.
Okay.
So if you get into trouble, just hit the reset button. You can't accidentally hit it, which is a good feature.
So you need something, an object to touch it. To stick in there and hit it with.
Yeah,
right?
I usually do my fingernail, but most guys have thicker fingernails, so they stick a pen or a stylus or something in there.
Gotcha. Okay.
Okay, so keep going around the back.
Okay, we're going from left to right.
Yep. Then we have. I'm not feeling it myself because I can't.
Let me turn it so you can see it.
Yeah.
There you
okay,
go.
So then right there you have the AC charger.
Okay.
Plug it into the wall and give it some batteries. Keep going. We have a regular serial port.
I've seen those before.
And because it's regular, you can plug mainstream applications like GPS. You can use a Palm Pilot for a visual display, so teachers who need to view the student's work right off the bat, plug in a visual display and you're off. And keep going. Got a parallel port there, printing, embossing.
Okay.
And right there in that blank spot, the newer versions have a compact flash card.
Oh, okay.
So you can also hook up into a network and have internet access at work.
Oh,
on a
wow.
network, yep.
Mm.
And there you have your modem.
Oh, okay.
56K.
Okay.
Regular phone line. There's an infrared port. So I've seen actually printing demos where the printer's across the room. There's no cables connecting it.
Oh, wow.
And it's beaming it into the printer, yeah.
Wow, fantastic.
Yeah, it's actually a really neat thing.
And now on the right-hand side.
Keep going around, there is a PCMCIA card slot.
Yeah. Right here?
Yep, that's the eject button, and then the long slot,
that's
kind of
slot.
Like the width of a credit card.
Excellent.
Actually, I have a card in there, so that's...
Excellent.
You want to pop that out. And this is, you know, I could save books and I know one of my colleagues has an entire library on one of those cards. And those cards come between, I think, 48 megs up to 10 gigabytes.
How much, how expensive are they?
Well, the ones that get up to 10 gigabytes are in the hundreds. The 48 megs are, I think, around 40.
Mm. Wow.
Yeah.
It's amazing how far we've come.
You just have... instant access to as much space as you need.
Of course, Kim, I hate to bring up this a lot of times, but what is the price of a Braille Note, and what options are there for those of us who want to get one and just don't happen to have the cash laying around?
That's actually a good question. The Voice Note and Braille Note are two different things. The Voice Note's voice only, no Braille display, keeps the price down. That is $27.99, I believe.
Okay.
Then you can get either a Braille keyboard or a QWERTY keyboard, the regular typing keyboard. And then we have Braille notes from 18 cells to 32 cells. The 18-cell Braille note, either keyboard, is, I believe, 4,100.
Okay.
And the 32 cells, 5,700.
Okay. What type of options? Do you have any options for anybody to get any kind of financing? What kind of financing might be available?
We're actually working on that at the moment. There's nothing definite from,
okay. But that's in the works.
Hopefully, yes. We'll figure something out.
Okay, now that we've had a tour of the Braille note, it's time to look at the GPS. And I'm assuming, Kim, that the GPS has to have a Braille note to work, correct?
That's correct. It's a mainstream, you can buy it at Fry's, type GPS receiver that doesn't have a voice.
Okay.
So what the Braille note does is it gives its voice.
Okay. So any, let me get this correct, you can buy any GPS unit to work with the Braille note?
We actually package it with one. We've done a whole lot of testing on GPS receivers, and we found that the Magellan, the one that we package it with, it delivers the best price and the best accuracy in marginal situations.
And I'm assuming that you'll sell just the receiver if somebody already has an old Braille note, or will it work with an old Braille note?
We actually, if somebody has an old receiver, we sell just the software.
Okay.
So, and it does work with the old board.
Excellent.
There's only been two major Braille note changes, the newest one being the web browser.
I'm assuming it's not compatible with other note takers from other companies, right?
That's correct.
Okay. Okay, let's get started here.
From the main menu, it just works like a regular program. You're going to hear Velcro a whole lot during this presentation because some people joke that we have stock in Velcro or something. Okay, so we're in the main menu. Go ahead and hit G for GPS. GPS is the global positioning system. It uses 24 satellites that orbit the Earth, and we have access with the commercial GPS receiver to 12 of those at any one point in the day. You need 3 satellites to triangulate your position, so it needs a 3D picture of you. It tracks your movement, it's not a standing compass. So when you're moving along, it can follow you with those 3 satellites. And if you get more than 3 satellites, it'll just take the 3 best satellites and give you the best rating possible.
Hmm.
So as you're walking along, it follows you. And it can see that you are, it's basically tracking your latitude and longitude.
Mm-hmm.
Every position on the Earth has a numerical latitude and longitude, and it can just place you on there. What we've done, we've put a kind of two-layer program into the Braille note. It can tell you points of interest that are nearby. So you're driving along, and you're either let's say you're in an unfamiliar area. You've just come to a new city. I do this a lot because I travel around demoing. I get there late at night. It's dinner time. I'm hungry, and I don't have any idea what restaurants are around. Not really fond of the hotel restaurant, and I want to venture out. So what I'd do is...
Not here, of course.
Of course. This
right.
is great.
Right.
So
I'm only doing that, folks, because we're actually in the hotel. In one
yeah,
of the,
exactly.
In case anybody's standing over there.
Yeah. No, we've got an empty room here, which is great. This is why we picked the room.
Okay.
It's definitely not breakfast time. So what I would do is just walk out the front door of the hotel and press the I for point of interest key. And this will start reading off points of interest that are nearby, restaurants, gas station, anything that might be of interest for me.
This is something we have to do outside, right?
Right.
Okay.
The GPS works outdoors. It can't work inside. The metal and the cement of the buildings likes to block a lot of the satellites.
Gotcha.
So I can find out what's, general idea of what's around. If I come outside of the hotel and there's only gas stations, then you kind of get an idea of what the neighborhood is, and you get scared back into the hotel and you decide to eat the hotel food. So you can do that basic feature. Once you find a point of interest, so if I found a restaurant, last night we went to, I think it's Yogi's Bogies.
Oh, really?
Is that a chain around here?
I haven't a clue.
Okay, so there's ice cream sandwiches. We found that you can mark that as your destination.
Interesting.
And either you can drop breadcrumbs as you go along
mm-hmm.
and make a route so that when you come back, you can follow the same route home.
Oh, okay.
Or and the whole time it would be telling you yogis, bogies, ahead and right, 400 feet, 200 feet, 300 feet as you go along.
So if you're walking and you tell me, Chuck, there's a grassy area on your right, I would stop, type in grassy area on the right, and the machine would tell me that when I came back.
You could do that, yes. Or if there was some kind of dip in the sidewalk, or if there was a difficult crosswalk or something where there was an island in the middle, you could say Main Street crossing, careful island in the middle, or I mean whatever you want to say about your route. A lot of times when I do routes, I just do major turns. So I walk out of the hotel,
mm-hmm.
go down the driveway, hit that as my first point, and then once you get to that point, it'll say, you know, you've arrived at waypoint 1, heading to waypoint 2, right. So that would give me a clue that I have to turn right at that moment to get to waypoint 2.
Kim, before we go outside and actually try this wonderful piece of equipment, I think a little description is in order.
Yes, I would like to explain how you would carry this around, because in the past, some of you may be familiar with the laptop version of GPS, and that meant carrying around a laptop, carrying around a speaker, carrying around the GPS receiver, which at that time was about the size of, let's see, a large mushroom that kind of sat on the back of your neck and made you look almost like the Hunchback of Notre Dame.
Did that come with a grocery cart?
Yeah, right. A couple of tin cans to trail behind you. Yeah, no. So you had to carry around a whole lot. If you were going to be on a long trip, you had to carry an extra battery. With this unit, you've got the Braille Note, and its battery lasts 20 hours. And the Braille Note now comes with the new leather case, and it kind of just drapes around your body. So you'd put it diagonal, like a woman would carry a purse, or you'd carry a shoulder bag. So that when you're walking along, if you wanted to put it in a point of interest, you just sling it around to the front, type in the point of interest, close up the case, and throw it back behind you and forget about it.
Okay.
The GPS receiver is in an accessory pouch that attaches to the back of the Braille Note. It has a hole so that the serial port slips through there. I'll let you feel down there. If you feel between the two Velcro pouches,
mm-hmm.
there's a serial plugged in there.
Gotcha. Okay.
So you don't really see the GPS receiver if you've got it all packed up, which is nice because then people don't know you're carrying around all this nice equipment.
So once you have a route in, basically, you don't have to keep fiddling with the darn thing all the time,
right? That's
right.
You can have it on automatic announce. You can have it on once. You can have it so that when you get to a point of interest, it'll automatically update to the next one.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, so, yeah, that's actually a really cool feature. I'm going to show you the GPS receiver.
Okay.
It's in a zipped pouch on the back.
Okay.
It's the size of a cell phone.
Oh, wow. I was thinking it was something huge.
Nope. And this actually, what we've done is there's on the strap here that connects to the Braille Note case.
Mm-hmm.
Let me go ahead and have you feel up. There is a part on the side that's all Velcro that
mm-hmm.
hides the cable.
Oh, okay.
So there isn't cables slung around the side of you. And you also, if you go back up this way, you're going to feel a little bit of Velcro, which secures the GPS receiver again.
Okay.
And there's a little belt loop.
Oh, okay.
And you'll notice on the GPS receiver there's a belt clip.
Oh, okay.
So when you're wearing it, you just have the GPS receiver on your shoulder like you'd carry around a cell phone.
It feels just like a cell phone.
Yeah. And it has a small antenna, but that doesn't mean you have to point the antenna up to get receiver or to get satellites.
Okay.
It's an omnidirectional, so you can have it upside down or sideways and it would still track.
It's an antenna, not a dish.
It is, yeah, it just receives the satellite information. So it's a one-way communication. You don't have to worry about Big Brother following you around on a computer screen somewhere.
It doesn't actually transmit anything. It just receives
satellite.
And analyzes.
That's right. It receives the raw latitude and longitude data. And then we've told the Braille Note, you know, useful information, like there's a blimpies on the side or your route, you're following your route correctly. So that's what we've done. I have the pouch just hanging around my hip area.
Okay.
And then as you feel up the side, I can hide the cable more if I wanted to behind some more Velcro. But right there, it's hidden in the strap.
Okay, excellent.
And then if you keep coming up the strap.
Excellent. Okay.
There's the GPS receivers clipped onto the strap.
Excellent.
So I don't have to hold anything. I've got an extra hand.
Cool.
To navigate with a cane or a dog or
excellent.
Whatever.
We are outside.
demonstrating the GPS unit. And once you get outside, Kim, what is your first step?
Well, what I do is just take the GPS receiver out of the accessory pouch and then put it in the strap so that I don't have to worry about it again. So it's clipped into the strap. The cable's hidden underneath the cable routing. And then I just turn the unit on.
Excellent.
So that's all you have to do. I have the Braille note case open right now.
The unit is on now.
Right. Braille key's facing out. And I'm going to go to... I'm in the... Let me just turn up the... Okay. So from the main menu, you would go to GPS menu. And in the GPS menu, there's load a route, create a route, options, GPS status. So I can make sure that I've plugged my GPS receiver in correctly, that I've turned it on with this before I enter the program.
Edit
user.poi, that's the point of interest, poi. You'll always hear that in this program. Once you've created a user point of interest list, so points that aren't in the commercial database, you can go ahead and add them in, and that would be your user point. And a quick reference guide. So if you wanted to look at all the commands that go with this program, you could do that as well. I'm going to go ahead and load the edituser.poi file.
Okay.
And it's going to bring up all the points of interest that I've ever recorded, even the ones in New York or North Carolina. I think I have some from New York, too. But it's going to bring those up, and it makes those in kind of a fake route. I don't have to worry about that because all I'm going to do is ask it what's around me.
Okay.
It's going to tell me. It's going to sort points of interest in my commercial database and in my personal database and tell me the closest one to me.
Okay.
I pressed E, and there's no GPS fix. GPS is detected. The beep lets you know that you don't have GPS fix. Now, we're pretty close up to the building here. I might want to get an initial fix. We might want to move out a little bit further, so I'm going to come over here. And when you come to new cities, I've already initialized this one, but sometimes it'll take up to 5 minutes because it doesn't want to give you bad information.
Mm-hmm.
It can't. I mean, it doesn't understand that you've hopped on a plane and you've gone thousands of miles. So it doesn't know that, and it's thinking, well, it must be wrong, so it's not going to tell you anything for a while.
So it's basically getting a position on the satellites
right.
and getting
and
the information.
And then at the first part of it, it doesn't trust it. So 5 minutes later, it'll say, okay, well, he's been there a while. I understand he's moved. This is where I'm going to update his position.
Okay, we've since moved inside in a van, and we're going to see if we could get a fix on the GPS unit on the satellite, right?
That's right. So where I was before was in the edit. Since then, I've moved back to the main menu just so you can hear the sound when the GPS receiver initializes.
Reporting GPS status. GPS detected.
That's the sound. So when you hear that, you know it's good. If it goes to the negative, the pitch goes down, then you know you've lost GPS.
Oh, boy.
Yeah, and that's a good thing. When you're traveling along and you think GPS is following you and it really isn't.
GPS menu.
Okay, so then we'll go back to edit user.
Destination set 2.1, our house.
So it's made it, that my first point of interest was our house, I guess. So that's our destination, even though we have no intention of going there.
Okay.
I'm going to hit the I. And it's sorting. Columbus, Ohio has a very dense point of interest file.
Ashley's Holiday Inn restaurant ahead and left 308 feet.
Okay, so it told us about the restaurant inside the Holiday Inn, and then it told us the distance that we needed to go to get there and what direction we needed to head. You can also change it from right, back, front, left to clock face.
Wow.
So that you get a little bit more precise. Because when it tells you ahead and right, you don't know. If it was telling you 2 o'clock, you'd know that a right turn is coming up.
Gotcha. Okay.
So I'm going to hit I again. We'll hear about other points. And it has the sword again. It likes the sword for a while.
Ashley's Holiday Inn restaurant ahead and left 317 feet.
Okay.
Cooker Bar plus GR restaurant ahead and left 630 feet.
Cooker Bar plus GR, that's cut off because the commercial points of interest are limited to 10 characters. So I guess it's commercial or grill, I guess?
Yeah, right.
Okay.
All right.
Varsity Pizza.
Varsity
Pizza. Restaurant left 743 feet.
Left 740 feet.
Now, did you put these things in?
These were the commercial database. I haven't put any of these in.
I was going to say, you, if you put them in, all the bars and restaurants...
Yeah, right.
...are in here.
Wouldn't be me. And actually, the funny thing is the Holiday Inn itself isn't in here. The restaurant inside the Holiday Inn is in there. So if I wanted to, I could add the Holiday Inn as another point of interest as a hotel.
Interesting.
Subway Sandwich Restaurant left 0.21 miles.
Subway Sandwich.
Tuttle Community Recreation behind and left 0.25 miles.
Recreation Center.
Fawcett Plus Auto Fawcett Center. Fawcett Center Hotel behind 0.44 miles.
Interesting. That's the Fawcett Center, WSU, Hofstra University. That's where I work on weekends.
Oh, okay. I thought I was making it up.
No.
The funny thing is we'll do these, and the points of interest will come up, and people that have been around the area for years will say, no way, that doesn't exist. Sure enough, we'll go there with GPS, or a lot of times I'll be traveling around, and Mike May's co-piloting with me, and he'll say, you know, I think I'm lost, and he'll say, no, just keep going forward, we're on the right track, we're on the right track, and we always arrive, and I'm the type who always wants to turn around too early, so.
Yeah.
Okay. So that's basically how the points of interest work. You can hear about restaurants, hotels, museums, recreational centers that are nearby you.
What if you're looking for, like, a gas station, for example? Can you enter in a specific type of business and have it find it for you?
Actually, a version 2 will have a search engine like that. So you'd say if you wanted, you know, Chinese restaurants or something like that, or the gas stations, you just type in gas and it would pull up all the nearest gas stations.
If you get a Braille note now, can you update to the newest version, or how does that work?
It'll just be a software addition. So you buy maps for Ohio, and you can add those on. It's going to be the same program, basically, running on the same Braille note, using the same GPS receiver. So you just it would be upgrading
maps.
An upgrading package, yeah.
And you get these maps online, right?
I believe we'll start off by producing them on CDs.
Mm-hmm.
And then you'll get maybe northeast section of the United States. Or some, I'm not sure how they're going to break them up. But once we get a little bit closer to the release date, we'll have the sections broken up.
What's, if you've even had time to figure this out, what is the cost for, like, a map of Ohio?
Well, we're working on that. I believe our first release, we're selling SMAs for,
okay.
So you can buy in advance. So if somebody only has funds for one period of time, we haven't released the maps yet. We want to give people a chance so they can buy the maps
okay.
in that one purchase. So that is selling for $250.
Okay.
And I'm not sure what coverage area that will be. The Braille Note GPS as it is right now is $649 in addition to the Braille Note.
Okay. Now, how do standard GPS units keep up with this stuff? Is this what they do with standard GPS units? I mean, do they have to buy, does a sighted person have to buy CDs and
That's
do all
right.
that?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they buy point of interest CDs. They buy map CDs. The more expensive GPS receivers have map programs on them, so you basically pay for the maps when you pay for the more expensive GPS receiver.
If somebody gives you a present of a map of a state, if they go somewhere and buy it, will it work on this unit, or do they have to especially get them from you guys?
They have to especially get it from us. It has to be formatted to work on the Windows CE platform that the Braille Note runs on.
Ah, okay.
So, yeah, there's a little bit of a trick getting the maps to be accessible.
Gotcha.
A lot of those mainstream maps don't have the cues that a blind traveler would want.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
So these are specially made.
Yeah. Well, they have the way that things are described are geared towards
visually impaired.
A visually impaired user, yes.
Excellent. Okay.
Okay.
So okay, now what would you like to do?
We can actually drive. I can do this while we're driving.
Okay.
Fine. Okay. So let's do it.
And of course, our thanks to Jim Sullivan for entrusting. Actually, entrusted my daughter with his van. He'll be very relieved to know that Kim is.
Oh, maybe not. He's finding out I'm doing GPS and driving.
Well,
it just proves the fact that you don't need eyes to use this.
Would it be easier if I did the GPS if you told me what to push, or what do I? Hold this on my lap?
Yep.
Okay, what do I enter?
So, actually, let's go into create route. So, exit out.
Do.
Space with E, sorry.
It's all right.
Oops.
Pretty
you
sure
might be pressing some of the thumb keys there.
Oh, sorry.
GPS menu.
Okay, so we're back to the GPS menu.
Okay.
You want to create a new route. So we're going to either, you can hit C or you can spacebar till you hear create route.
Folder name. Press enter for general.
Now this function's just like a Microsoft Word document. It's asking where do you want to save your new route. And let's put it in the GPS folder. So spacebar till you hear GPS.
List of folders on flash dictionaries. General. GPS.
And hit enter on that.
Hit the enter key?
Yep.
Route to create. Computer Braille is
displayed. And go ahead and name this route whatever you want.
Okay.
And hit enter.
Check. Recording route check. GPS command.
Okay, so we're actually
recording route check.
All right.
And it said GPS command, which lets you know that you can do any commands.
So you're
now within, like basically you're in an open document to start recording.
Gotcha.
So now that we're, as we're going along, we can mark points. Let's start heading out toward the parking lot, and we'll mark that as our first waypoint.
So what should I write?
Nothing yet.
Okay.
So I'll just go around the block if that's possible.
Yeah, that's okay.
Okay, so let's mark this as our first waypoint. What you do is hit the record key, which is dot two.
Point name, press enter for waypoint one.
And now it says point name, press enter for waypoint one. If you were in a quick route where you didn't have time to type out a name,
mm-hmm.
you would go ahead and hit the default and accept waypoint one. What we're going to do is type in a specific name.
Okay.
So we could say Holiday Inn exit to, let's see, what street is this? Just say... type in exit to Lane Avenue.
Lane.
AVE?
AVE, yeah.
Okay.
And hit enter.
Ave,
it said Ave. That's okay. We can go in and if we needed to, you could go in and change that.
Okay,
once, since it's all personalized, you can do whatever you want with it.
Okay. You can type grade 2 Braille with this, can't you?
I believe so.
Okay.
I just don't.
Gotcha.
So now, when we're going, go ahead and hit the S.
19 miles per hour.
19 miles per hour.
Oh, wow. That's fantastic.
So you catch everyone speeding on you. If you want to hit the H for heading.
West, 272 degrees.
It tells you west and it tells you the degrees.
27 miles per hour.
And let's mark this right here with a dot 2.
Point name. Press enter for waypoint 2.
You're never going to get to spell that one, so let's just hit enter on waypoint 2. Let's accept
waypoint
the default.
Added.
Okay. So now we've dropped two little breadcrumbs, one at the turn of the parking lot and one at the corner where we turned.
Gotcha. We're driving and entering locations in as we drive, folks. That's how we're doing this.
And here's the faucet center that it told us about earlier.
Can we mark that?
Actually, escape out of that. We don't want it to be a waypoint. It's already in the point of interest.
Okay,
just spacey.
Exit waypoint canceled. Waypoint two added.
And if you want to hit an I right now, it'll take a while to sort. So it already has that point in there for you.
Oh my God.
And if you hit, once you've sorted the list once, if you hit spacebar, it'll just keep repeating that and take you down like a sort of edit box list.
Okay. How do I get out of the interest list?
You just hit another command. That's all you have to do. You're not really in any interest list.
Gotcha.
But the hard part is sorting it for the first time. Once you bring the list up, then you've done the hard part. And you can listen to tons of points of interest as fast as you want to.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. If you want to find out how many GPS satellites you're tracking, you can hit G or space with dot 5.
Good. 7 satellites.
And it gives you a rating, good, and tells you how many satellites. Sometimes that can be misleading because you'll see that it says 7 satellites, but it might give you a poor reading.
Press enter for waypoint 3.
Let's do Neal Avenue.
Avenue.
And what do I do to, when I'm done?
Hit enter.
Keyboard? Okay.
Waypoint 3, Neal Avenue added.
Okay, so we've added that. Now, the GPS rating, it matters the rating more than the number of satellites, because you can get poor 7 satellites, or you can get good 3 satellites.
It just made like a beep.
That means that we had poor for a short period of time.
Oh, okay.
Mm-hmm. So lets you know your GPS status. So if you can't trust it, you aren't clicking or doing something annoying, so you know how reliable the information is.
Fair, three satellites.
So it's down to fair, went from good to fair.
Good, four satellites.
Sometimes it'll click.
7 miles per hour.
Sometimes it'll click even if you just go to poor for a split second. I think that's better than some. Then you don't have to, you know if you can trust it or not right away.
So, 186 degrees.
Another thing you can do is program in bus routes and have the stop announced to you before you need to get off.
Oh, my.
A lot of people will just handy. They have, like, their destination is two spots before they need to get off the bus, so they have time to pack up and get off. And
by the way, the Braille note, or the Braille display, says south 186 degrees.
Yep, everything that's being said is also coming on the Braille display.
Yeah, fantastic.
So you can, if you're on a bus, you can turn off the sound and just read it in Braille.
Oh, my.
Or if you're in a noisy situation like New York City, you can turn off the sound because you won't hear it anyway.
So is this a breadcrumb?
Yep. Lane Avenue.
Point name. Press enter for waypoint 4. Lane. Avenue. Waypoint 4. Lane Avenue added.
It says WP4, Lane Avenue added. In the Braille display.
WP is shortened waypoint.
Right. This is another breadcrumb coming up.
We're actually at the end, so we can mark. We'll mark this intersection. Tuttle Park, is it?
Yep.
So make it a breadcrumb.
I'll tell you when.
Okay.
Ready. Set. Go.
Point name. Press enter for waypoint 5.
Tuttle what?
Tuttle Park. So the cool thing about that, as you might have noticed, is that you can mark it in the intersection and you have plenty of time to write it in. So once you press dot 2, you've recorded that point.
Now what if you don't know where you are right now? Is there a way I can find out where you are?
For point of interest. Then you can hear about points of interest that are nearby.
We'll start the route over again so I can show you how the route goes.
Okay.
Or you can actually exit out and save your route.
Do you want to save changes?
And just hit a Y for yes.
Yes, I will save the GPS menu.
Okay, so if you had zeroed in on a point of interest, like a restaurant, and you made a route to get to the restaurant, then you would, once you finish dinner, you'd load that route again and then follow it back to the hotel or whatever. Okay, we're going to go ahead and load the route and pretend like we're following our route that we've created from the hotel.
This is the route that we just made.
Yep.
What I called Chuck.
Okay, so...
Okay, how do we load it?
Where are you right now? Hit the space bar.
Load route.
Okay, let's hit enter on that.
Center for Chuck.gps.
Okay, so we're going to take a look at Chuck.gps, and once it opens, it's going to tell us 4 bits of information. First, the route that we've opened, that the GPS has detected, our destination point, which would be waypoint 4, and our beginning point, so our current waypoint, which would be waypoint 1. And then what we can have it do from there is automatically announce every 10 seconds our progress in the route. And I have it set so it doesn't automatically go from waypoint to waypoint. So when we get to waypoint 1, we have to push a button to get to waypoint 2.
Okay.
Makes a lot more sense in demos to be doing it step by step.
Gotcha.
So go ahead and hit enter on Chuck, and we'll listen to what it has to say.
Loaded file destination set to waypoint 5, Tuttle Park. Approaching waypoint 1, exit lane on maybe 16 feet, press L for next point. Arrive!
Okay, now so we've already arrived at our first waypoint.
It says Lane Ave. I didn't write Avenue, so that's why it says Lane Ave.
Yeah. Lane Ave.
Right.
And it has plus or minus 30, the GPS accuracy. And it also, I have it set so that when I'm 30 feet away from any point of interest, it'll trigger, giving me advance notice. When we start driving, it's going to give me a lot more notice.
I noticed that the Braille display is gone. Is that...
I actually ask it, hit dot 2, about your current waypoint.
Waypoint 1, exit lane on maybe 15 feet.
Okay.
So once you get within 30 feet, you're responsible for finding the front door.
Gotcha.
So it's not going to get you right to 1 foot or anything like that.
Okay.
So we're going to head out. Hit L to move to the next point.
Waypoint 2 ahead 0.21 miles.
Just follow the same
way. Okay, waypoint 2 ahead 0.21 miles.
Okay, now hit space with dot 6 because it's not automatic.
Repeat announcement on.
Okay, so now every 10 seconds it's going to give us an updated.
Okay.
Let's wait for the next announcement.
Waypoint 2 right 0.20 miles.
So that said waypoint 2 right 0.20 miles.
Okay.
So we'll head up.
And the braille display is showing that also.
Right 0.20 miles.
We haven't moved, so.
Every time the announce comes on, it brings up a new braille display.
Right 0.20 miles.
Except for that time, of course.
And every third time, it'll tell you the name of your waypoint.
Right 0.20 miles. Ahead 937 feet.
And now it's updated. It says ahead 937 feet.
Waypoint 2 ahead 491 feet. Approaching waypoint 2 ahead 203 feet, press L for next point.
Arrive.
So right here, if you were navigating, you'd tell your driver, okay, now take a right up here.
Alright. Press L, right?
Press L, yep.
147 feet. Waypoint 3, Neal Avenue ahead, and right 0.77 miles. And right 0.70 miles.
And at the same time, you can play around with the speed and the heading and all that, and you won't get knocked out of this.
Ahead and right 0.60 miles. 36 miles per hour. Ahead and right 0.52 miles.
So you notice the distance is getting smaller. So it let us know we've arrived near the point of interest, the Fawcett Center. I'd say the hardest thing for new GPS users is actually trusting it. Because it's more than not accurate, and I always think, well, what's it talking about? It's crazy, but every time it's right.
That and trying to remember what breadcrumbs to add and when to add them.
Yeah.
Arrive, waypoint 5, tunnel carved right 624 feet. Arrive.
Is there a way that you can fix it so it would display interest points that you're passing even though they're not in your route?
Actually, you can have it automatically tell you about things you're passing, mm-hmm. but you can ask it as you're going along.
Oh, okay.
Within the route.
Behind that right 400.
So the reason why it told us about the
Fawcett Center before?
The Fawcett Center?
Yeah.
Was because we had been looking at that before.
Okay.
So it automatically announced it for us.
Behind 524 feet.
You notice that it's telling us behind because we passed the waypoint and we don't have any more to move to, so it's behind us.
Interesting.
So if you ever wondered, you know, what happens if I head out in the wrong direction, will it tell me? And this is what it would tell you.
Oh, okay, cool.
Actually, let's do one more thing. Let's turn off the GPS receiver.
Okay.
Actually, be in the program, recording, whatever. So let's go.
What should I do?
Let's load your route again.
Okay. Do an L.
Mm-hmm.
Folder name. Press enter for GPS.
And enter route twice.
Open. Press enter for check dot. Loaded file destination set to 8.5. Tunnel park.
Now I'm going to turn off the GPS receiver. Let's just pretend the GPS receiver ran out of batteries.
8.1. Exit lane on maybe.
So it's still telling us it takes 5 seconds to power down. And then this is another way that you can tell that you've turned off the machine since it doesn't beep or doesn't do anything to let you know there's...
GPS not detected. Check connection.
So you run out of batteries, it lets you know. The fact that you can't see the screen doesn't keep you from knowing if it's on or off. And it's going to keep telling you GPS not detected unless you exit out of there.
Okay, we are back inside. We have completed our route. Kim, do you have any final comments or anything you want to mention that you didn't have a chance to mention?
No, actually, that's pretty much it. If you need to contact us, it's 800-722-3393. If you have any GPS questions, you can email me at kcasey, that's kcasey@humanware.com.
Okay. Kim, it's been a pleasure.
Yeah, it's been my pleasure as well.
Appreciate you spending time with us, and I hope you sell a few of these things.
Yeah. Thank you.
Thank you.